cancer is the key.
Cancer is the key. Okay.
Nice warm cup of RC Cola.
RC Cola, yes. Steeping cup of the cola.
Cup of the cola.
Welcome to the Futile Podcast. Tonight we got Blaine, Zach, I'm Ian. Welcome to it once again. Just preliminary stuff. Hopefully you're listening through, maybe you've subscribed via iTunes. Futile Podcast is the search. You want to send us an email, futilepodcast@gmail.com. You want to check out the show notes or download the MP3 of the podcast. You just gonna post go show to notes? www.graniteseed.com/futilepodcast. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I just say, like, this is what we're going to talk about. And I put a picture. I've done extensive show notes in shows from the past. I mean, we've been on for almost 2 years doing episodes. I think I posted the first one in the summer of 07. So, yeah, it hasn't been 2 years yet. And you'll know when it's been 2 years because it'll be the Futile Podcast Year 2 party. Like, you know.
Woohoo! When's that?
I'm psyched. Probably sometime in July or August.
Yeah, and it's 4th of July?
It's going to be off the hook. Maybe we'll... Nah, because 4th of July is more fun when you have fireworks and it's not...
Yeah, but that was bullshit last time, though. Fucking fog and shit.
No, actually, I thought. Going and seeing him. But then you went back to. We went back to Fieldbrook and did some. Everyone seemed to have a good time.
Yeah.
But people aren't interested in that. People are interested in topics. They're interested in ideas. They like lists. They like discussions about best of.
Dude, worst I love ofs. Lists.
And so.
Go to Cracked. Mm-hmm. There's so many lists.
The unnecessary explosions.
What?
Nah. Talking about? Like the one in Van Helsing where the thing blew up. It looked like there was actually. Like an explosive wired in it though. So
I've never seen that movie.
I had a problem with it. Was I saw it good? Parts of it. No, I just saw the list on Cracked about
oh really? You actually go
some,
there?
Some of them. No, I saw it on Film Junk. I only go to Film Junk. It's a plug for you guys, Film Junk. Even though you've probably got orders of magnitude higher in terms of.
I think
listeners.
I prefer Slash Film.
Slash Film's awesome. I love Slash Film.
Oh, I haven't checked.
You know,
I like Hunter Stevenson.
Is Grammar Girl.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up, actually.
I greatly dislike Grammar Girl and her Nazism about grammar.
Yes.
I thought it was Glamour Girl.
Today my friend and I are...
It's Grammar Girl?
Grammar Girl.
We're going to work, and we're sitting there behind another car, and this car...
You haven't shaved in a couple days, have you?
I think I shaved Tuesday.
Is the news about the stock market?
Piece of work. Yeah, after the stock market crashed.
You're just like,
you realized about the stock market after crash a few months late, and so you stopped shaving.
Well, generally, I shave before I take a bath.
Oh my gosh, that was awful. Because you used like 1920s terminology for losing money.
People that lose money still use 1920s terminology. So we're sitting behind, my friend and I are on our way to work, and we're sitting behind this car at a stop sign, this van from Idaho. That's very important to the story.
Okay.
It's not a bumper sticker so much as a collection of like letter tabs that have been put together to put out this phrase. And the phrase says something, I think it says this. It says, if you think you're so perfect, why don't you try walking on water? And your is spelled Y-O-U-R.
Oh, so your brother wrote it?
Yeah, exactly, right? And so Matt turns to me, he's like, do you think they're being ironic with that? And I'm trying to do the work, and I'm like, they got such a sort of self-righteous.
They might have been.
They got such a self-righteous, like, religious, like...
What does Idaho have to do with it?
Because it's Idaho, you know.
There's a lot of Mormons in Idaho.
They're probably neo-Nazis, you know, in this van.
So they're retarded then.
They're retarded neo-Nazis that are running around that don't know how to use proper grammar. So Grammar Girl would hit them on it.
Grammar Girl, though, you know what?
Grammar Girl is a Nazi. You know. I think she'd love them.
Anyway, so that's a little story. People like lists. People like countdowns. They like thinking about stuff that's about movies and music and cartoons and
Kindergarten Cop's on next.
Kindergarten Cop with Mr. Kimball. So Zach, you wanted me to come up with a real humdinger today,
and I'm just going to react. I don't want to know what it is. You have to be totally prepared.
I'm totally prepared.
You have to get like 45 minutes of talking. Ahead of you, and I'm just gonna pop in.
Okay, well, I can probably do that with anything anyway. You know, it's me. After all, I can talk 45 minutes about the subject.
I'm gonna argue. We haven't argued in a long time.
Yeah, sure.
I'll listen.
We can do that.
That's what I'll do.
Blaine, you're our fan. You're the best.
I'll be like this.
you can judge who wins the argument.
Yes, sure.
No, so I don't have to say much.
You can be involved. So anyway, today I'm driving back from work.
That's it.
And
does this whole podcast have to do with you driving to or back from work?
Pretty much. That's interesting. And I got the old radio on. I like to listen to my old, my fossil rock when I'm in the car, because all the other music I listen to is not really a, I just have an old car with an old radio, and that's the time I'll get. It's good music, and I don't listen to it enough, so I try to listen to it when it's in, you know, on the radio, because it's the only stations I've got, and I don't want to deal with having like
93.1.
Yeah, I was listening to, I think, 93. Sometimes I listen to 95.5.
Okay. I
catch like the end of Layla, you know, yeah. And then I'm like, oh, I wonder if they'll do the full version
part,
and it's piano part, and I'm like, piano
that goes part, on ad infinitum.
It goes on for a couple minutes, and I'm like, piano part, this is good stuff. I remember when they used this in Goodfellas, and it got me thinking, because I knew we were going to do a podcast tonight. It got me thinking at the time, what are some of the best uses of a piece of music, a song, if you will, in a film that make it iconic? Another one. Because I'm well prepared for this. I was thinking about it all day. Because I knew we were going to be doing a podcast for the last 2 or 3 days. Steeler's Wheel from Reservoir Dogs, of course. That's completely iconic of that. You can't, you know, hear that song and not think of a cop getting soaked in, that's been doused in gasoline, getting his ear cut off. So I put it to you, Zach. What, I mean, you're a fan of music.
What's the question? Know?
Good songs that are you've been used to create like a scene in a film, you know, something fantastic.
Well, you know, Watchmen did a bunch of that. The opening with
times
that,
are changing.
Times they are a changing.
Mm-hmm.
From
your favorite guy,
Grammar Girl wouldn't like that name of that song.
B. Dylan, yeah.
My boy Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Q. Dylan. I don't know what his middle name is.
I think his last name is Zimmerman, right?
Yeah, it's Zimmerman. Bob Zimmerman. I got a friend named Eric Zimmerman. He was my friend.
Oh.
Rest in peace. I don't know if he's dead or not. I'm just assuming. And his dad's name is Bob Zimmerman. I wonder if he was Bob Dylan.
You mean Uncle Robert?
Anyway, that was nice because... and that was actually... the more I thought about it, that was one of the better credit sequences I'd seen in a while. You know, some movies have great ones that don't have... That don't really show anything. I've always remembered the Fight Club one.
Fight Club is good. He forgot that because what got me thinking about credit sequences... was the Film Junk just recently did, like, he just created, like, his top 10.
Yeah, I saw his list of things,
He didn't put Fight Club on there.
Well, that's because I think he was doing ones that, like, that kind of summed things up or didn't really stylistic way. Fight Clubs was, like, going through a human body.
The Fear Center.
And that's not that
the brain.
Exciting.
I thought it was kind of cool. I mean, the Bullet one is really just very matter-of-fact, but it's very interesting the way it happens. There's no dialogue.
I have always enjoyed the use of the Christmas choral music in Die Hard. They did the Ode to Joy. The singing overture part, like, and they replayed it throughout, and there was a few scenes where in very action packed moments it was blasting at the top of, and that was cool. You know, there's good stuff like that. I don't remember what the song was, but in Face Off, when they tell the kid to put on his earphones,
oh, yeah,
and
it's
the shootout,
what's
the song?
Something from The Wizard of Oz. Someday I'll come and find... Somewhere over the rainbow.
So it's just Somewhere Over the Rainbow, yeah. That's not a good use, but I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, that was a very, like, sort of abrupt, sort of strange thing to do. Kind of blunt usage of it.
You know, I mean, it's just too easy. That there's a lot of movies that were made in this more current day and age where... they just license a bunch of songs. P.T. Anderson really used it as a crutch in Boogie Nights.
Yeah.
But that had, I mean, basically, if you watch that movie and you pay attention, all it is song after song, one song ends and another song begins. He plays almost the whole song. And sometimes with no regard for whether or not it's in the middle of a scene or anything like that. Like sometimes, usually it's supposed to signify what time it is, what year it is, whatever.
Yeah.
With the mood and all that stuff. But sometimes it's like a party scene, a song ends midway through the party scene, another one begins, and then that carries through to something else. Like he really just kind of used that nonstop. And it got a little...
Which what's the one where the guy's got the firecrackers and
well, there was that...
that's pretty iconic, I think.
Oh, totally.
I just don't remember the name of the song.
He did,
I haven't seen the movie in a while. But
Sister Christian.
Yeah.
Heat
of the Moment.
There was
Asia, right?
Heat of the Moment was in that too?
No, isn't that the song? It's the Heat of the Moment.
No, it's the Sister Christian was the name of the song. That Motor and...
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's the song.
Yeah.
I like that one.
And he asked them if they wanted to play a little baseball.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, that's a good one right there. But, I mean, the rest of the movie is, like, literally just song after song. You know, the commercial, I don't think it's even in the movie, but they always do that Three Dog Night song in the commercials for any movie set in the 70s or early 80s.
Yeah, they do, huh?
Yeah.
What does that song go like? It's like, da-na, da-da. Something stupid like that, but yeah, I know what you mean. I hate that when, like, there's the generic, didn't they do an SNL sketch once where they kept showing the trailer, like, a new trailer kept coming up, and, like, they, every, like, second trailer, they would use the same, like, I feel good, da-na-na.
Modern Humorist once made an MP3 you could download that was, just a random, like, generic movie trailer thing. And it was, they used the record scratch, and it was like, and they used the record scratch to like introduce a new character all the time. There was something about like, turns out this person was the son of the devil. And it was like, but then they had like, but all he wants to do is party. Then it's like Third Eye Blind. Like they just threw like all the like hit songs in there. Like,
that's terrible.
You know, basically anything you would see. There was like some, you know, like, I feel good. You know, like yeah, that anything song. That's in any like PG-13 yes. movie.
Or
yeah.
PG-13. Yeah. I just, another one came to me. Big Lebowski. The part where he goes to Jackie Treehorn's place and he's got that super awesome lounge that looks like it's like an old like 70s hotel like thing. And it's got the, it's a Mancini song. It's something soul or something. Okay. And it's just like,
In his sweet dream sequence when they play,
Kenny Rogers. The Kenny Rogers. That's the more iconic, but for me,
Kenny Rogers Roasters song.
But for me, I just, New Edition. I love that Mancini, that scene with the Jackie Treehorn. It's just so
And it opens with the weird shots on black of naked women bouncing up.
Yeah, up and down.
And then the funniest shot is it does a reverse to one of the guys holding the sheet that they're using to throw him, and his eyes are just like popping out of his head. He's so excited to be throwing these naked women. He looks so psycho.
They're all doped out. Yeah.
And then, oh, that is just the greatest scene. How you're like that whole sequence. Then, even after that, when he gets picked up by the sheriff, and the sheriff throws the coffee mug at his face.
No, I love that scene.
He says, "Get your gold bricking ass out of my out of my something beach community."
Jackie Treehorn, valued member of our community, and
get your gold bricking ass out of my beach community.
I just hate the fucking Eagles, man.
But when he gets the phone call. And he's he writes something down, and then he thinks he's being all like a quick detective, and he goes up there and scratches off, and it's just that dude with the huge schlong. He drew a picture while he was on the phone. And then he tore it off like it was important and put it in his pocket and walked away.
He does the leaf rubbing.
Yeah. That's great. And that was like the only time in the whole movie where he even like attempts to do anything detective-like. The rest of the time, it's usually just
it's like the ultimate
Goodman forcing him to do things.
It's the ultimate anti-detective movie, really, totally, if you think about it. It's like the, you know. Another good example of song. Peckinpah's I think it's the Billy the Kid one. Where with that, because it's got old what's his name, old Bobby Dylan, and it's the Knocking on Heaven's Door, the original use of that. This guy goes out to, he's all retired. And he goes, Jimmy Coburn tells him, hey, come on, we're going to go round up some guys. And his wife's like, come on, look, it's been 10 years. He's done. And he's like, no, I'll do this one more time or whatever. Basically goes out and just gets plugged, walks off out into the thing and keels over, you know. It happens in like the course of 10 minutes. And it's kind of like sometimes those quick deaths really just point out like, well, there you go.
One of the really iconic ones is that stupid backrack song in Butch and Sundance.
That's right.
You know, the raindrops keep falling on my head.
Yeah.
Which is, you know.
It sounds like a weird choice for a movie like that.
Well, it was, and but it was also a huge hit, and it was like, it made the movie very, like, I think it actually helped with the popularity. Backrack was gigantic, you know, and why wouldn't he be?
Really? I don't know. That got me thinking, you mentioned that, Sundance and Butch, it got me thinking of the old Ragtime song. Which I don't remember. I think Seth told me the name of it just recently. From The Sting. That's like
talking about the Sting. The Scott Joplin one, the famous one?
I think so, yeah. Da 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 da
da
da da da da
da da da da da da da da da da da da
da da
da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da da
Okay, good. And then what?
We got, We Don't Need Another Hero off Mad Max 3, Beyond Thunderdome. That's Tina
gay.
Turner.
That's gay.
Yeah, but that's still really iconic of that movie and of that not. Story.
The only you place, just hate that movie. The only place I've ever even heard that song besides that
is
movie
is at Kmart every
is
day.
Is at Kmart. They every don't even day. Do it every day now.
It's just every other
but
day.
But Kmart plays crappy songs. They'll, like they go through... No, here's the, they'll play a bunch of hits. And then they also seems like the person who selected the whole thing has the CDs, the hits were on, and we're like, let's see, how about also randomly song number 7 off that disc? Like, things like that. Like, Jennifer Love Hewitt songs, and like,
what?
Like songs that would have been like the 7th single off the 2nd Dave Matthews Band album and things like that. Like, seriously, I'm like, I know what this is. Why are they playing it? It's really weird. And like, the weirdest one is, out of all the great like Beatles songs and like songs by all these like, you know, iconic bands, they picked like the stupidest ones. For a long time, the only Beatles song they ever played there was When I'm 64, which was really weird. Like, and then suddenly they decided they were going to play some Wings stuff. So every once in a while they play like Band on the Run, and they did like, I don't know. And then they just pick weird songs sometimes.
That's another. Live and Let Die by your buddy, the better songwriter, Mr. Paul McCartney.
Yeah, definitely the better songwriter. The James Bond thing is kind of too easy.
It seems too easy, but some of them, yeah. But I mean, like, I couldn't tell you the Shirley Bassey one, or whatever is that?
Goldfinger.
For Your Eyes, that's Goldfinger.
Then, she like, did like half,
like
of them,
For Your Eyes Only. What I mean,
For Your Eyes Only is good, but and that was.
Yeah, I could
really whiny song.
I could try to remember.
But the good one is Nobody Does It Better. I don't remember the Carly Simon song from The Spy Who Loved Me.
Yeah,
that's a great song. That really is.
I think Carly Simon sang it.
She did.
Yeah,
I'm saying it was the Carly Simon.
Oh, I thought you said I couldn't. Don't remember.
I don't remember. No, I just said I don't remember the title of the song. I think it's Nobody Does It.
Yeah, I think it is.
It was weird because normally they just have.
Maybe it's Baby, You're the One. Like that's sort of sometimes it's the.
It's not. I think it is Nobody Does It Better.
Yeah, the Bond ones,
or it might just be called the Spy.
The Bond ones are kind of that is what it's called,
which is stupid because she doesn't mention that once in the song. And it was
no, she says it in the song. It's in like the bridge or something.
Right. That came out all the time too.
The Spy, Who Loved Me. Keeps me
erect long.
Exactly. No. I just think there are a couple of them that are, but I mean, usually
murders
they're
people and beds a thousand women.
They're pretty disposable. I mean, the Bond ones. I mean, there are, like you said, there are a couple. There are maybe like 3 or 4 or 5 that are pretty good.
You know what I thought was funny was when they started remaking them after all the terrible Timothy Dalton, the lean years, let's say.
Yes.
That they're like, oh sweet, we got a wide range of people to pick from. Let's see, we got all these bands. Let's go. Yeah, yes, Garbage. Nice, good pick. Let's see.
Well, they started with
Tina
Turner.
They started with Tina Turner, the Golden Eye, which is a terrible song.
Yeah.
Golden Eye.
Dun, dun,
something
dun, dun.
Something rhymes. Something, something, something. Tina Turner sucks.
It was Tina Turner. It was Sheryl Crow. Then it was Garbage.
Well, it wasn't even Garbage. It was just Shirley Manson, I think.
No, it was the
band. Was it Garbage?
I saw the video. The video's got this weird thing going on.
You know, I actually like the first 2 Garbage albums. Anyway,
yeah, they're all right.
I think they should have gone just... They should have just gone all the way, and they should have got Courtney Love.
Garbage was in that, did that song for the Adam Sandler movie with the little kid.
Big Daddy?
Big Daddy, yeah.
Did they?
That was in that.
Was it the title song? The title track?
It might have been, who knows.
Big Daddy by Garbage?
I think it was probably just shown during a montage. I mean, you can't...
Butch Vig?
You can't neglect, like, Hearts on Fire from Rocky IV. That's a pretty big
song.
That's
an insane shotgun.
You know, I mean, the song thing is kind of... Because basically you can just say any single was ever in a thing.
Any awesome montage,
Kenny Loggins has made his entire career off of doing songs for movies. Like, he did Footloose, he did Caddyshack, I'm All Right song, he did the Top Gun song.
That's all he's done. Did he do Beverly Hills Cop, one of them? Did he do the second one or the first one? Or?
I don't know. Was there a popular song off those besides
That's not Kenny. It's the second one. The Heat Is On. Isn't The Heat Is On in the first one?
Oh my gosh. I forgot he did The Heat Is On, too.
That's the first one, right?
I don't think
it's the second one? Oh, okay. That's
the The Heat Is On.
I'm pretty sure that's the first one because they just show Detroit for the first
few minutes. You might be right, yeah.
And then I don't know what they did.
I mean, the plot of all 3 of the movies is exactly the same.
Pretty much.
He's in Detroit, and somebody gets killed in L.A., and he has to go back
and
solve the murder himself because he doesn't trust the entirety of the LA Police Department to do it.
No, the plot in the first one. Okay, I'm not going to get specific about it, but you're being a little unfair to the
No, I'm not being unfair at all. I'm being completely 100% fair. It's the same movie
His
three
friend
times
gets
in a row.
Killed in Detroit in the first one. But it's tied to some L.A. thing.
It doesn't matter. His friend gets killed,
friend
he goes to L.A.
injured in the second one. He gets shot and gravely injured in
the
L.A.
The worst movie.
And in the third one, like the inspector, his boss of the cops, gets killed.
What do you think the fourth one's going to be?
I don't even know what.
Someone's going to get killed. He's going to go back to L.A.
Yeah. I'm going
Maybe
back.
He'll just be in L.A. now.
I'm going back to L.A.
Can you just...
They should switch it around and make
him go to...
He goes back to Detroit, just for the hell of it. Like, he starts in Beverly Hills. And they're like, dude, crazy. Axel, everyone in Detroit's dead. He's like, I'm going to get revenge.
He should meet up with Billy Crystal and...
And they could do the titles, and it says Beverly Hills Cop, and it spins around a few times, and it says Detroit Cop. And everyone's like,
Detroit,
oh, snap.
Detroit Cop City, and then RoboCop shows up, and Beverly and Billy Crystal and Gregory Hines...
Oh my gosh.
And then they play that...
Gregory Hines is dead, right?
I think he might be. They play that Lionel Richie
I wish Billy Crystal was dead.
Probably a lot more would wish that.
Let's do another list. Let's each name three actors we wish was dead.
I don't feel that kind of ill will, necessarily. I'm sorry.
Most of mine are just comedians.
You're just like...
Carlos Mencia.
Dane Cook.
And I'm just going to go ahead and say Andrew Dice Clay because I saw him disparage someone on... Celebrity Apprentice the other night. Oh, no, he was actually the nice side of all of them.
He got shit canned.
Did he get cooked at the end? Yeah. What happened?
Because he like decided he didn't want to.
Well,
make
you know, at the conference table was that he goes, you know, like Dice Man, what do you want to say for yourself? Like, who would you fire? And he's like, honestly, I did the worst job. I would fire me. And then because he was like being super nice and like cool to everyone. And
it sounds like he wasn't.
Trump is like
during the actual mission.
Trump is
like phoned it in.
So what, you a quitter? You a quitter? You're going to quit? He's like, no, I'm not a quitter. I would just fire me because I did the worst job.
I like how your Trump and your Dice Man are the same.
They're the same. Except they're the same guy.
The thing about Trump is that Trump, for some reason, equates acting with talking to someone while like on a tarmac with a helicopter going, it's always like this.
Yeah.
That's Trump. You got to remember, you're trying to tell someone like, you've got to get the blood samples to the, you know, think Outbreak or something.
Well, he wants to make sure he's perfectly clear when
exactly.
He's telling someone
yes.
to buy or sell.
Yes, buy and sell it.
Sell now.
I'm going to go into bankruptcy. I'm watching the ship that goes sailing somewhere beyond the sea. She's there watching for me. If I could fly like birds on high, then straight to her arms I'd go sailing. It's far beyond the star, it's near beyond the moon. I know beyond a doubt my heart will lead me there soon. Will be beyond the sea, and never again I'll go sailing. There are a handful of good musical moments.
You dabble in pork futures?
I'm thinking about it. Yeah, I'm just going to put it all in pork bellies. Me and the two guys from Trading Places.
No, man. You're gonna get screwed on orange juice.
Me and
the problem.
Me and Don Amici and yeah. Hugh Crone or whatever.
Hume Cronin. How come no one names their kid Hume anymore?
And Jessica Tandy. I don't know.
My gosh.
You could name your kid Hume.
I might.
You should.
Hume Cronin.
You should have like a poll.